All right.
She caught us at 2 o'clock in the morning because they're leaving.
All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Yud Beis. Today, very interesting Gemara. So we left off, if you remember again, four lines down from the top, Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We made good time yesterday. Right? So the Gemara says, if you remember again, we actually quoted from a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Really focused on many different things, but most notably, Rabbi Eliezer held that the world was created in Tishrei, and Rabbi Yoshua held that the world was created in Nisan. So that set up a whole number of different disputes regarding different matters. So we have a Nisan versus Tishrei model. So the Gemara then quoted from the episode with Noach, where we see again that same machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua come up. So the Gemara says the following. So remember, what we saw in Noach is that the Torah says, Bishnas Shnesh Shesh, I'm just reading to you from yesterday's daf. Bishnas Shesh Meos Shana Lechayim Noach, Bachodesh Hasheni, in the second month. Shalom Aleichem Shur, welcome. So remember again, so the Gemara says that the Pasuk in Noach says that it was in the second month. So the Gemara says the following, Bishlam Rabbi Yoshua, four lines down from the top. This makes sense according to Rabbi Yoshua. Hainu dichsiv sheni. Because Rabbi Yoshua, remember, according to Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Yoshua's model that the world was created in Nisan, then ultimately, again, we understand why it says sheni. Hainu dichsiv sheni. Now, Rabbi Yoshua, what the Gemara is saying over here is the following. If you take a look at Rashi says, Hachi garsina bishlam Rabbi Yoshua. No, I'm sorry. No, that's wrong, Rashi, excuse me. So let me tell you this outside. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yoshua, the fact that the second month, remember, if the first month is Nisan, the second month is Iyar, so it makes sense. Hainu d'chsiv sheni. Ela l'Rabbi Eliezer mai sheni. And I was like, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is something very interesting. The understanding is that, if you look at Tosfos for just a moment, top Tosfos, Ela. Ela l'Rabbi Eliezer mai sheni. Va'afagav del Rabbi Eliezer betishrei nivra ha'olam. Dinehi de le'inyan ha'shanim ro'ui limnos mimenu. Le'inyan minyan ha'chadoshim ein monin mimenu. Likros marcheshvan sheni de le'chadoshim nisan rishon. I will say, here's what's very interesting. Apparently what the Gemara is assuming right now is that as much as there is a machlokes in Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua as to when the world was created, as well as a machlokes as to a whole number of different events, one thing seems to be clear, which is when we come to the counting of months, months are counted from Nisan. Now, why would everybody agree with that particular idea? Because the number itself, what does the Torah say? Hachodesh hazeh lochem rosh chodoshim. So it's actually interesting. So you could assume that Tishrei might be the beginning of the year for many things, but apparently everybody would be on the same page that for the counting of months, you would be counting from Nisan. If that's the case, when the Pasuk by Noach says that the flood begins in the second month, so according to Rabbi Yoshua says that the second month is Iyar, because we're counting from Nisan, that makes perfect sense. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, would Rabbi Eliezer really be saying that the second month would be Mar Cheshvan? That can't be, because even Rabbi Eliezer, who would say that the world was created in Tishrei, the Gemara assumes that even he would agree that what? That when it comes to the reckoning of months, what month do you begin from? You begin from Nisan, and therefore again, Chodesh Sheni would ultimately be Iyar, to which the Gemara says, El Rabbi Eliezer, so again, I will say, Yud Beis Amud Aleph, five lines down, El Rabbi Eliezer, my Sheni, what does Sheni mean? Sheni Ledin. It means it is the second month since the month of judgment. That ultimately, again, so even though it's not the second month from the reckoning of months, it's the second month from when judgment occurred. When does judgment occur? Judgment occurs in Tishrei. So the Gemara says the following, Bishlam of the Rabbi Yoshua, Hainu Dishina. So Rabbi Yosef, it makes sense, according to Rabbi Yoshua, that this was the change. Rabbi Yosef, what does it mean that this was the change? Remember, again, look at Rashi. Hachi Garsina Bishlam of the Rabbi Yoshua, Hainu Dishina. The He'elah Mazel Kim of Yom. Remember, again, the Gemara quoted yesterday that because the inhabitants of the world deviated from normal behavior, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu deviated in his normal behavior as well. And what did he do? So the Gemara said that he brought up the mouth of the constellation of Kima by day, and also what else? In ER, what's the nature of the sub, or what's the status of the subterranean springs? They're a little bit more depleted. So God did two things that were a natural aberration. He brought up Mazel Kima during the day, and he caused the springs that were normally to be normally depleted to bubble up and flood the earth. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Yoshua, that was the Shin, and that's how God deviated. It was a meat. Remember, divine punishment is always Mida Kinegan Mida. It's always quid pro quo, tit for tat. So the same way that we deviate in our behavior, the Ribbono Shel Olam deviated in bringing about the punishment. El Rabbi Eliezer Maishina, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, what was the deviation? Because also remember, according to Rabbi Eliezer, when did the flood occur? The flood occurred in what month? In Cheshvan, the constellation of Kima rises during the day. And in Cheshvan, what else? The subterranean springs are what? Are full. It's the rainy season. So what's the Shina? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean? What's the quid pro quo? How did God punish us? Mida keneged mida. How did God deviate? Listen to this. Kidrat Chista. Darmat Chista. It's actually quite stark here. Biroschin kilkalu. We literally went ahead. Mankind. Biroschin rabosai means that we sinned with boiling. With roschin means literally boiling liquid. Biroschin nidonu. And therefore we were judged with boiling liquid. Now what does this mean? Biroschin kilkalu. What does it mean that we sinned? Or we literally kilkalu doesn't just mean sin. No, avera sin. Kilkalu means like destroyed. Destroyed. How did mankind destroy the world? Ba'avera, with sin. Abosa avera in this context means immorality. Immorality. So what does immorality have to do with roschin? The Gemara is making a reference over here to semen, to zera. That the Gemara compares the zera to a hot liquid. So mankind went ahead and sinned with semen, with immorality, and therefore beroschin nidonu. Therefore, Abosa and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about the plague, because then we can understand that immorality is the undoing of society. Once there is immorality, that has many, many ramifications and ripple effects in many other areas. Because essentially, again, what immorality really represents is a fundamental lack of regard for the other. Once there is a fundamental lack of regard for the other, that trickles down into all elements of society as well. So mankind sinned beroschin, again, a reference to the zera, reference to the semen, reference to immorality, beroschin nidonu, and therefore we were judged with boiling waters. How do we know this? Ksiv Hocha, it says over here, Vayishoku Hamayim. The Rabbi says, actually very interesting, that this is by the end of the Mabul, right? When the Mabul is over, so the Torah says, Vayishoku Hamayim, the waters subsided. That's what we translated. The water subsided. And yet, interestingly enough, Uksif Hasam, and it says there, Megillas Esther, V'chamas Hamelech Shachacha, that the king's anger, what? Now, Shachacha in this case means what? Cooled down. So you see over here that the word that Shoresh Vayishoku, Shachacha, is that same notion of cooled down. So the fact that it says that the waters doesn't just mean they subsided, it means the waters cooled down, which indicates to us what? That they were hot. So therefore, the Gemara of Chista understands that the waters therefore are boiling. So Rabbi said, therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the shinoi, meaning, remember, the punishment always fits the crime. Mankind deviated, therefore the punishment was a deviation as well. According to Rabbi Yoshua, the deviation was this occurred in Chodesh Iyar, where again, normally the subterranean springs are depleted. The constellation of Kima does not rise during the day, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the subterranean springs to bubble up, and the Mazel of Kima to go up during the day. That's the Shinui. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the Shinui was what? It's not just that there were flood waters, but rather the waters themselves were boiling, to correspond ultimately again to the boiling waters, to the immorality that the people engaged in. Tan Rabbanan. Then the Gemara just ends off on an interesting note. Tan Rabbanan, Chachme Yisrael Monin Lamabul, Karabi Eliezer, Ule Tekufa Karabi Yoshua. The wise men of Israel, go ahead and count the years. Rashi says over here, Chachme Yisrael Monin Lamabul, Karabi Eliezer, Monin Shinos Noach Ubrias Olam. They count the years of Noach as well as the years of creation according to Rabbi Eliezer, meaning ultimately, again, using Rabbi Eliezer was the opinion who said using Tishrei as a starting point, but they count for seasons for Rabbi Yoshua, meaning using Nisan as a starting point. Chachmei Umos Ha'olam, the wise men of the nations of the world, monin af lemabul k'Rabbi Yoshua. They count not just the seasons, but they also count the years of Noah in accordance with Rabbi Yoshua as well, i.e. starting from Nisan. Okay, the Gemara goes weiter. Lirakos. Remember again, we're up to now, we're just going through the Mishnahs or Rosh Hashanahs. So remember again, the next one we're up to now is that the first of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for Yirakos, for vegetables. Now Rashi already in the Mishnah explained, what does it mean, Yirakos? Lemaiser Yerek, for tithing vegetables. I'm just reading to Rashi from the Mishnah. She'ein tarmin u'ma'asa min ha'nilkat b'fnei Rosh Hashanah al achar Rosh Hashanah. Now we'll listen to this. So we'll see, by the way, that there is no biblical obligation to tithe vegetables. Right, Trumas and Maisers from vegetables is Dirabbanan. But yet, nevertheless, despite the fact that it's a Dirabbanan, there's always a cutoff. Meaning, we have one general principle by tithing, and it's what? That you can only tithe items. And I say items because it's true with produce, and it's true with animals. Only if what? Only if they're from the same cohort, they're from the same group, as defined by calendrical bookends. So you always need a beginning and an end of the year for every single tithing group. So therefore, the Mishnah says that the first of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, is the Rosh Hashanah for Maaser Yerek, for ultimately tithing vegetables, which means that vegetables that were picked after Rosh Hashanah, after this Rosh Hashanah, before the next Rosh Hashanah, are part of one cohort, are tithed together. And ultimately, again, those that grow after that are part of a different group. So the Gemara says, Tana liyirakos ulamaisros l'nedarim. Now the Gemara quotes a Braisa. And the Braisa says, the first of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for tithing vegetables, Maaseros, tithes, nidarim, vows. So the Gemara says, okay, let's analyze this. The Yirakos Maininu, what does it mean that the first of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for Yirakos? What exactly does that mean? The Gemara says, Maaser Yerek. What that refers to is that Rosh Hashanah, that first of Tishrei, is the new year for Maaser, for tithing vegetables. But the Gemara says, Hainu Maaseros. Then isn't the Braisa repetitive? Because what does the Braisa say? The first of Tishrei is the first of the year for vegetables, which means, again, tithing vegetables. And what does it say right after that? Oh, and for tithing. And for tithing. So why do you have to say twice? Hainu Maaseros. So the Gemara says, Tana Dirabbanan. And Vikatani Daraisa. Oh, I'll tell you why. Because says the Gemara, that when the Braisa says that the first of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for Yerek, that's referring to the rabbinic tithe of tithing vegetables. And when it says Maaseros, what is that referring to? Biblical tithes, biblical maaseros, meaning what's Rabbi say? What's biblical maaseros? Grain, olives, grapes, animals. Although maaser behemoth is in a different, it's reckoned differently in the Mishnah. But that's what it means. So the Gemara says, one second, v'lisni da'araisa bereisha. But why don't you go ahead and, because we're also now understand the flow of the Braisa. We're leaving our Mishnah for just a moment, but we're focusing on the Braisa. So the Braisa says that the first of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for Yerek, Maaseros, Nedarim. Now we're saying Yerek means vegetable tithes, Maaser means general tithes. So the Gemara says, and again, Yerek is Dirabbanan, Maaser is Deoraisa. So asks the Gemara, why doesn't the Braisa list the Deoraisa before the Dirabbanan? To which the Gemara says, listen to this. The Gemara says, Aidi dechavivale akdimo. So I'll say such a very interesting answer, because the Gemara says that since the Tana of the Braisa had an affinity towards the Dirabbanan, he quoted it first. Or in other words, Rav Osai, that again, you know, there is something more exciting in a Dirabbanan. Why? Because a Dirabbanan is the creation of man. It represents man's ingenuity in the formulation of the will of the Torah. So there's something very exciting, something very dynamic about that. Therefore, the Tana chose to place the Dirabbanan before the Deoraisa. Okay, Vitana Didan. And what about our Mishnah? So also, interestingly enough, our Mishnah quotes the idea that V'echar B'Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for Yirakos. And interestingly enough, it does not quote what? It does not quote that it's the Rosh Hashanah for other Maaseros, which is very interesting. So why doesn't our Tana make reference to the other Maaseros? Vitana Didan, Tana D'Rabbanon, V'chol Shekein D'Oraisa. And our Tana goes with the approach that if the first of Tishrei is going to be the Rosh Hashanah for Maaser Yerek, which is Dirabbanan, it certainly will what? Will be the Rosh Hashanah for any kind of biblical obligations as well. So the Gemara says, again, V'tana didan tana Dirabbanan v'chol shekein d'oraisa, v'lisni Maaser Echad, So we'll see, here's the thing. Okay, so now what we've just done is the following. Remember, we're dealing now with the Braisa and our Mishnah. So here's what we have. Based on the Braisa says that the first of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for Yerakos, Maestros, Nedarim. So now we've resolved why you need both Yerakos and Maestros. One is the Rabbanon, one is the Oraisa. Our Mishnah only quotes the Rabbanon because our Mishnah understands that once you see that Echa B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for the Rabbanon, it's certainly going to be the Rosh Hashanah for the Oraisa. Fine. That's number one. Next question is, why does the Braisa phrase Maestros in the plural? Why doesn't it say that just the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Maeser singular? Why Maestros plural? To which the Gemara says, Echad vel Echad Maeser Behema, the Echad Maeser Dagon. Why? Because it's referring to two different Maestros, Rabosai. One is referring to Maeser Behema, tithing of animals, and one is referring to Maeser Dagon, the tithing of grain. Tithing of grain, so the Gemara says, that's number two. Okay, so therefore, Maestros is in the plural. Teach us the first of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for Maeser Behema, Maestros, plural, Maeser Behema, tithing of animals, as well as Maeser Dagon. I will say Dagon means grain, but grain isn't just grain, as I said before. Grain also, well, we'll see what grain includes. Fine. Velisni Yerek, so the Gemara says, why does the Braisa say Yerakos? Again, why Yerakos, plural? Why doesn't it just say Yerek singular? This is very interesting. To which the Gemara answers, Trei Gavni Yerek, because the truth is, not all vegetables are treated the same way. How so? The Gemara says, Disnan, Yerek Hanegat. Now, we'll say, the Gemara now is getting into a different type of discussion. A little bit of background to this. The halacha is that before an item, before a vegetable or any type of call crop, before a crop is fully finished, you are permitted to go, fully processed, we'll call it, you're permitted to eat achilas arai. You're permitted to eat a snack from it, even though what? You have not yet taken shumas and maestros. However, once again, a product is considered to be fully processed, you may not eat even an achilas arai without what? Without first separating shumas and maestros. The interesting question is, at what point in time are things considered to be fully processed, recognizing that for different items, that threshold is reached at different times. So the Gemara says, even by vegetables, not all vegetables are considered to be processed at the same time or fully processed at the same time. For example, Yerek HaNe'egat, if you have a vegetable that is normally bundled, so certain vegetables, I guess when they're sold in market, aren't sold loose, but they're sold in bundles. What? Asparagus. Okay, that was Adam Edelman. Good. I'm going to email Fran this year. All right, so now again, like asparagus. It's like asparagus. So Gemara says, for example, so if you have a bundle, if you have a bundle of vegetables, so the item, the vegetable itself is not considered to be fully processed until when? Until it is bundled. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi is Yerek HaNe'egad, Shadarko ba'agudos, that the derech again is to sell it in bundles. Mishiya agad havi grono. We'll say this is considered to be when it's literally been threshed, meaning when it's finished. Lemay serva asr le'echol mero aray achiya aser, and you cannot go ahead. You should not eat of it until again you take trumos and maestros. On the other hand, mishiyamalei agad, but there are some vegetables that are not sold in bundles. Adam David. Any suggestions?
Cucumbers.
No, not bundles.
Apples,
not a vegetable. All right, good. All right, don't worry about it. All right, good. We're fine. Since the rest of the Shannon Agar, I was just trying to increase the audience participation. It's fine. The Shannon Agar, but if you have something again that is not sold in bundles, Mishi Mali Esakli. I will say it's very interesting. So again, the assumption is very often units are not, these vegetables are not sold necessarily in individual units, but rather again, they're not necessarily bundled. So for example, for that type of vegetable, when you would go ahead and let's say fill up your utensil, your tent, your basket, that would be considered to be ultimately when the vegetables are finished. Rashi says, I'm sorry, no Rashi yet. Now, again, I want to point out, this really has absolutely nothing to do with our topic. Because remember, our topic is a calendrical issue, meaning at what point in time, when is the cutoff to create groupings for vegetables? All the Gemara is just pointing out over here is that when the Braisa brings up the topic of vegetables, the Braisa quotes vegetables in plural just to tell you that in another regard, not all vegetables are treated the same. That although they may what? Although they may have the same calendrical bookends of, we'll call it Aleph Tishrei and Lamed Av. That's the year all vegetables grown, or not grown, picked in that time are part of one cohort, and therefore again are part of one tithing unit. Just understand, they don't all become subject to tithing obligations at the same time. It depends on how the vegetable ultimately is fully processed. And that's why it's in the plural. If it's a bundled vegetable, it only becomes subject to Trumas and Maestros when it's bundled. If it's not a bundled vegetable, then it only becomes Chayv and Trumas and Maestros, again, when the basket is filled with them. So that's why the Braisa uses the plural Lashon. Tan Rabbanan. Liket Yerek. Now the Gemara just gives another example. It's called the Braisa. Liket Yerek Erev Rosh Hashanah. We'll say, if you pick the vegetable on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So remember, by the way, not Lamed Av, I mean, it's Lamed Elul, right? That would be the end of the tithing year. So Liket Yerek Erev Rosh Hashanah. If a person picked a vegetable on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the last day of Elul, last day of the previous year, a person picks a vegetable. Ad Shelo Tavo Hashemesh. And what happened? And I picked the vegetable before the sun set. B'chazer V'Liket Misha Tavo Hashemesh. We'll say, so the Gemara is giving a very dramatic example. So here is Erev Rosh Hashanah. Literally 5 minutes before sunset, I go ahead and I pick a vegetable. And then 5 minutes after sunset, I picked another vegetable. And I will say, if you're picking vegetables on Rosh Hashanah, you've got Gan Tzitzaris. Right? Because remember, the act of picking crops is an Av Malacha, is a violation. So it has to be, Tosfos points out over here, Rashi, Tosfos says, B'Yushalmi, Muki Lo B'Nachri. Okay, it's talking about a situation where a non-Jew picked it for me. A non-Jew picked it for me. The point the Bryce is making is, one vegetable was picked, you know, 5 minutes before sunset. One vegetable was picked 5 minutes after sunset. What is halacha? They're part of two different calendrical years, and therefore they are part of two different Meiser cohorts, two parts of two different Meiser groupings. Therefore, in tarmin umaasrin mize alze. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, you may not tithe one of those vegetables on the other. Lefi she'in tarminu masrin, because again we have the halacha, you may not take chumas and maestros, lo min ha-chodosh ala yashan, v'lo min ha-yashan ala chodosh, you may not take chumas and maestros again from new crops for old crops and from old crops for new crops, meaning you can only tithe a grouping of vegetables again from the same year. Im haisa shnia nichneses l'shlishis. Now the Gemara gives another example of this. Let's say, now remember again, the way the agricultural cycle works in Eretz Yisrael is it's a 7-year cycle. Now, it's not just that 7th year is significant because it's Shemitah. Each year is significant because there are different tithes that are in effect each year. There are certain things that apply every year. Truma applies every year. Maaser Rishon applies every year, which makes sense. Why? Because again, Truma is for the Kohen. That's how the Kohen survives, that's how the Kohen lives. Maaser Rishon is for the lady. So those tithes apply every year. Trumas Meister, correct, that the lady will separate, that is correct. So the variable tithes are really Meister Sheni and Meister Ani. So Meister Sheni ultimately, again, is going to be, it's yours, you could eat it, but you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. And Meister Ani, Kishmo Kinu, like the name says, is a tithe that's given to the Ani. So we'll see again which years those apply. So the Gemara says, Haisa Shnia Nichnesas L'Shlishis. Let's see the following situation. Let's say now, I'm in the second year of the Shemitah cycle. So this meaning year two in the 7-year cycle, entering into year three. So now remember, first example in the Braisa was that I picked one vegetable before Rosh Hashanah, one vegetable after Rosh Hashanah, two different years. One is one before Tishrei, one before Tishrei. Therefore, two separate Meiser groupings, and therefore you may not tithe one on the other. Now the Gemara gives another example. Let's say again, I pick one vegetable, Haisa, Shnia Nichnesas L'Shlishis. The second year is going into this third year. Shnia Meiser Rishon U'Meiser Sheni. So I will say, what tithes do you have on year one? In year one, you have Meiser Rishon, which I will say always applies, and Meiser Sheni. That's in year two. That's in year two. In year three, Meiser Rishon U'Meiser Ani. In year three, however, you have Meiser Rishon, which we'll say always applies, and Meiser Ani. So we'll say we're going to see, by the way, in years three and six is when you're going to have Meiser Ani and no Meiser Sheni. And I will say, so what the Gemara is saying over here is like this. Just another example of that which we stated before. If I picked one vegetable in year two before Rosh Hashanah and another vegetable in year three, could be 5 minutes later, what's the halacha? Not only may I not tie them one on the other, but what else? They're subject to different tithes. So the vegetable, again, from year two is obligated in Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni, and the vegetable from year three is obligated in Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani, to which the Gemara says, Minahani Mili. How do we know this? Now, how do we know what? Look at Rashi. Minahani Mili, the Bishlishis Eino Nohig Ba Maaser Sheni. How do we know that in years three, and it's really not just year three, it's year three and six, but how do we know in year three and six, that Maaser Sheni does not apply? Where do we know that from? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Rabbi Shimon Levi says, the Pasuk says the following. The Pasuk says the following. Ki sichale la'aser es kol ma'asar tvu ascha b'shona hashlishis. When you go ahead, literally when you finish, to go ahead and tithe all of your tithes, all of the tithes of your grain, in the third year, shnas ha'ma'aser. Rabbi says, what's interesting is the following. So what the Gemara is picking up on is like this, that it says, when you go ahead and you finish tithing all of your tithes, bless you, of your grain on the third year, shnas ha-ma'aser. And the third year is a year of what? A year of the tithe, singular. The tithe, singular. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, what do we learn from this singular? Shana she'ein ba'ela ma'aser echad. It is a year that has only one ma'aser. What's the case? So what do you mean one ma'aser? Ha-ketzod, Maaser Rishon u-Maaser Ani. It's a year, ultimately, in year number three is a year where you only have one Maaser. What's the one Maaser? Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. And what won't you have? U-Maaser Sheni Yibatel. You don't have Maaser Sheni. And I will say, you'll say to yourself, that didn't make too much logic sense because the Gemara just said, Shnas ha-Maaser means it's a year of one Maaser. And you told me what? It's Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. So honestly, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Ha-ketzod Maaser Rishon, Yiten kiderech shenason adhina. Now, I will say the Gemara assumes, and we'll back this up in just a moment, you're never going to cut out Maaser Rishon. Maaser Rishon is not going to be cut out. Maaser Rishon is a staple, which also makes sense because, again, remember, you have a shevet that is relying on those tithes. So to think that those tithes would not apply on certain years sounds a bit counterintuitive. So therefore, the only thing that's the variable are the variable tithes. What are the variable tithes? Maaser Ani, as well as Maaser Sheni. So the Gemara understands over here that when the Torah says that in year number three, it's a Shnas HaMaaser, it is year of the Maaser singular. Meaning, something is included, but something is left out. What's included? Well, Maaser Rishon is my staple. Maaser Rishon is my staple. I'm going to therefore include what else? I'm going to include Maaser Ani, but Maaser Sheni will not apply that year. That year, and we'll see later on that three and six are parallel years. So the Gemara says, or not parallel years, are really mirror years. Mirror years. So the Gemara says, Oh, Eino Ella, Maaser Sheni Yibatel. Oh, Eino Ella, Af Maaser Rishon Nami Yibatel. So maybe you'll say, well, one second, if it's Shnas HaMaaser, maybe singular really means singular. And therefore, again, not only on years three and six, not only should you not give Maaser Sheni, but maybe what? You shouldn't give Maaser Rishon also. And Shnas HaMaaser really means the year of the Maaser. Which Maaser is it referring to? Maaser Ani. Maaser Ani. To which the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why that can't be. Tamul Omar, Ve'el HaLevi'im Tidaber Ve'amar Ta'aleim. To the Levi'im, you will say, you will speak, and you will say to them, Ki tikhu me'eis b'nei Yisrael es ha-na'aser, asher nasati lachem me'itam b'nachalaschem. Because also the Pasuk says, that to the Levim you will say to them, to the Levim you will speak, and you will say unto them, when they take from b'nei Yisrael, from the Maaser, that I have given to them, from you, b'nachalaschem. And I will say, b'nachalaschem means what? Literally as a nachala. It's an inheritance to them. What does that mean? Hikishu akosel v'nachala. The Torah has gone ahead, the Torah has compared Maaser Rishon to an inheritance. Ma nachala ein lehefsek. I will say, just as inheritance is a process that does not cease, af Maaser Rishon ein lehefsek. So too Maaser Rishon never ceases as well. Maaser Rishon is always going to be in effect. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, O af Maaser Rishon yibatel. Ushnas ha-maiser, so the havamina is maybe shnas ha-maiser really means that all other maisers except for one, and that one would be maiser ani would be negated. It's even maiser rishon would stop. ushna samais chat kamar hahid mafarish va azil levi legel yasalamara fu maishani sha'af levi bikhlal ani she'in lo khilak baris. And about say, I you say to yourself, well, what does the levi eat? What would the levi eat if he stopped maishrish? And the answer would be, the levi would partake in maishr ani. Right? Why could the levi partake in maishr ani? Because about the levi doesn't have land. Therefore, again, maybe in that we're, so we're not suggesting, the havamina is, we're not trying to be hard on the levium. We're not suggesting that we're going to cut off support for the levium for a year. What we are suggesting is what? That maybe Levitic support can simply come from Maaser Ani instead of Maaser Rishon. Look at the next Rashi. Therefore, Ba Levi le Maaser Rishon calls Masheba v'ha b'shana shlishes k'siv miktzei shaloshan. So also listen to this. So the Gemara says essentially, the fact that the Torah equates Maaser Rishon to Nachala tells you that just as inheritance is an ongoing process, inheritance does not cease. Meaning, both saying an entitlement to inheritance is something that is always there. Therefore, lemaisa, same way that the entitlement to Maaser Rishon is always there as well and never ceases. Therefore, although we see from the pasuk that the pasuk is coming to limit us in year number three for which tithes are dispensed, shnas hamaaser, singular, only one tithe, so Maaser Rishon isn't even on the table. Because it's a nachla, because it's an inheritance, it's a constant part of the Levi's form of support. And therefore, again, if the Torah is coming to limit something, we understand that it's coming to limit, again, in year number three, Maaser Sheni. Tell you, Maaser Sheni does not apply, but Maaser Ani does. Tanya Idach, another Braisa, Ki Sechala La'aser, Shana She'in Ba'ela Maaser Echad. Again, I will say, the Braisa just quotes the same idea. It must be, it's a year, quotes the same pasuk. There's a year, Shnas HaMaaser. That year number three is a year in which only one tithe applies. Okay, so what's the case? Maaser Rishon u Maaser Ani. So I'll say which tithe applies. So Maaser Rishon applies, and it must be again the Maaser of that year is Maaser Ani. U Maaser Sheni yibatel. And Maaser Sheni ultimately again is not given on year three and year six. Yachol af Maaser Rishon. Again, the price is just recording what we just said before. You might think that perhaps the Torah is telling me that you should also cut out Maaser Rishon. So the Gemara says, Tamu lomar ubo halevi. The Levi will come. What does that mean? Kozman Sheba, so the Torah says, as long as the Levi continues to show up, therefore what? Tainlo. You have to give him Div Rabbi Huda. So what Rabbi Huda understands, not from Nakla, but Rabbi Huda understands from the fact that the Pasuk says, Uba Levi, the Levi will come to you. As long as the Levi shows up, you have to give him. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Eino Tzarech, you don't even need that drasha. Why? Harihu Omer, ve'el ha'leviim tidaber ve'amarta aleim. To the Leviim you will speak, and you will say unto them, ki sikhu me'es ben Yisrael es ha'maiser, asher asati lochem me'itam b'nachaloschem. Again, the Torah calls Maaser Rishon a nachla, an inheritance. Ki kishu ha'kosel v'nachala. Torah compares Maaser Rishon to a nachla, to an inheritance. Ma nachala in lahefsig. She says nachla does not have an interruption, meaning nachla is constant. Af Maaser Rishon in lahefsig. So to Abba say Maaser Rishon does not have a hefsek as well. So Rabbi Osai, again, we now close out that sugya. Remember how this all started? This all started with yurakos, with vegetables. So we got into a little bit of a tangent over here. So again, what we've established by yurakos is the first of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for yurakos. What we've also established is, the truth is that the first of Tishrei is really the Rosh Hashanah for all tithes, right? For both rabbinic as well as biblical tithes. Our Mishnah only discusses yurakos because it assumes that if it's true for yurakos, it will be true for biblical tithing as well. We've also established that, again, different types of vegetables become subject to the obligation to tithes at different times, depending on what? Depending on whether the vegetable is considered to be fully processed. We've also now fully established that throughout the 7-year Shemitah cycle, different tithes apply on different years. And for our purposes, what we've shown is, and again, the reason this came up is because the Brisa illustrated this idea that if you pick a vegetable on year two and you pick a vegetable on year three, not only can they not be tithed one against the other, but what else? They're subject to different tithes. In year two, that vegetable will be subject again to Maaser Rishon. And again, why Maaser Rishon? Maaser Rishon always applies. Why does it always apply? Either because the pasuk calls it a nachala, it's an inheritance, therefore again it does not stop. And in year two, the vegetable will be subject to the tithes of Maaser Sheni. However, in year three, if you picked it on year three, it's subject to Maaser Rishon, because again, Maaser Rishon is constant, and it'll also apply to in year number three. In year number three, you'll also tithe it with Maaser Ani. So the Gemara goes weiter.
The limit that the Gemara used was that there's only one additional Maaser in years three and six.
Correct. How do you know which one it is?
But there's always only one additional Maaser. Right, because Maser Ani gets swapped for Maser Sheni.
We know that from here. That's not a fact. That's not a, how do you know it gets, maybe they all.
I thought it was only in years 3 and 6 that the Gemara was saying there's only one additional Maser. No, it's saying that every year?
Correct. So the answer is we're not finished yet. The answer is we're not finished yet. But correct, that, see, the assumption would be every tithe applies every single year. That's the automatic assumption. Now Kamash Malon, that it's signaling out year number 3, that's Shnas HaMaaser. So once we'll see that, now you're saying, good, we have to figure out, is it just 3 and 6, or is it 1, 2, 4, 5 as well? 7, we know all bets are off because it's Shemitah year, so we'll get to that. So Gemara says in the Darim. So what else? The Braisa said that the first of Tishrei is the new year. Did our Mishnah mention that also? The Mishnah did not mention. The Braisa said that the first of Tishrei is the new year for Nidarim. For Nidarim. Now, also, what does that mean practically? Now, what does it mean, Rosh Hashanah, is the new year for Nidarim? Listen to this. Let's say a person makes a neder from getting Hana from his friend. So I make a neder. I am not going to get any benefit from Reuven. I don't want any benefit from Reuven. I don't want to benefit from anything of his. So what's the halacha? And I make that neder for a year. So I'll say, what is a year? A year is 12 months. 12 months starting from the day that I made that neder. However, so we'll say, here's what's interesting. Now, words are very powerful. If I say I'm taking a neder for a year, so a year means what? We've seen this before. It means 12 months. 12 months from the day I took the neder. If on the other hand I say, I take a neder not to get any benefits from you for this year, then what does that mean? Even if I'm only making that neder on the last day of the year, last day of Elul, once Rosh Hashanah comes, the year is over, and I fulfilled my neder. And I will say, this is true. Even according to, now again, I will say that makes perfect sense because we've seen an opinion that says that what? One day of the year, Rabbi Meir, one day of the year is counted as the whole year. Even if you do not subscribe to that idea, meaning even if you hold that normally one day of the year does not count as a year, in this case over here, it will work. Why? Because what's the point of making such a neder? I will say, why would a person make a neder to go and not get benefit from the other? To afflict himself. And therefore, again, and therefore, in essence, the neder has been fulfilled. Why, Rabosai? Because even over the course of one day, I have what? I've afflicted myself. And therefore, again, the neder is fulfilled. So it's interesting over here is, even if you don't normally hold that one day of the year counts as a year, and when it comes to nedarim, it will count. Everybody will agree that one day counts as a year. Okay. Ve'ema Nisan. But how do you know? How do you know that Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for nedarim? Maybe it's Nisan. To which the Gemara answers, "Benedarim halach achar loshon bnei adam." We'll say it's very interesting. When the general klal by nedarim is that we are holich achar loshon bnei adam, which means that we follow the way people normally speak. I will say one thing is clear, which is that when people speak about Rosh Hashanah, what are they referring to? They're referring to Tishrei. That's for sure. So the Gemara assumes that hands down. So because colloquially, so Rosh Hashanah, new year, a year begins at Rosh Hashanah for most people. Therefore, the assumptions when it comes to Nedarim, where we heavily rely on Lashon Bnei Adam, so new year, a year means Tishrei. Tanan Hasam. We're both now going back to vegetables for just a moment. Tanan Hasam. We learned it in the Mishnah there. Hatilson. Tilson is fenugreek. Fenugreek. So if you have fenugreek, Misha Titzach. Now this becomes a very interesting discussion. The shy Adam. Okay, so good. Adam will be giving an in-service on this afterwards. So the Gemara says the following. So Rabbi, now here's the other interesting kasha. The question is, at what point in time is the tithing identity of an item locked in? We're going to see for some items their tithing identity is locked in when they sprout. For other items, when they fully blossom, and still for a third category of items, when they're picked. So now the Mishnah is going to say, for example, Tilson fenugreek, Misha Titzmach. Fenugreek is considered to, its tithing identity is locked in depending on what? Depending on when it Titzmach literally means sprouts. Sprouts. So let's say, again, so we'll say if it sprouts in year 2, then its tithing identity is locked in as a year 2 item. If it sprouts in year 3, then its tithing identity is locked in then. On the other hand, hatavua v'hazesim, but yet again, grain as well as olives, misheyaviu shlish. Their tithing identity is dependent on what? When they grow to 1/3 of full maturation. When they have reached 1/3 of maturation, they're already considered to be a usable item. That's when their tithing identity is locked in. Rashi says, okay, fine. So the Gemara says, my mishatitzmach, what does it mean when fenugreek sprouts? What does that mean? Mishatitzmach lizroim. It means when the fenugreek has reached a level where it itself has grown its own seeds. So when the fenugreek is mature enough that it has its own discernible seeds, its tithing identity is locked in. Hatvua v'hazeis mishayav yushlish. How do we know that for grain, as well as for olives, that their tithing identity is locked in? We're going to stop over here. We'll pick up right over here of Hatvua v'hazeisim tomorrow. So again, remember, we're leading off in a very important discussion, because what we saw, by the way, is interesting enough, we assumed, at least by vegetables, that the identity or the tithing identity of the vegetable was established when you pick it, what we call b'shas likitasa, at the time that you pick it. We're going to see that is not an incorrect statement. However, again, fenugreek already is a vegetable. And yet what? And yet, that might not be totally true. I take that back. We'll see what it is. But we'll see now that for other items, their identity may not be just simply established when they're picked, but rather may come about when they mature. All right, Emirat Hashem, to be continued tomorrow.
So I think, I'm not sure if the question that was being asked is the same thing. The puzzle says Shnas HaMaiser. Are there other things which are not done in year three other than Maiser Sheni, or is it just those two things that are swapped?
Just these two things.
Well, how does this give us any clue?